This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for being here. And I've introduced myself a couple times, but I'll just introduce myself for the people that I haven't met. I'm Lori Cousins. And Diana's been a mentor of mine for 12 years. And very, very grateful to her and to UCLA Mindful and just all the different things that it's helped for me to be able to meet so many beautiful people and share mindfulness in the way that it's helped me personally, and then all the different ways that I offer it professionally. And one of the things that I do is work with nature-based retreats and nature-based experiences. And I also work with animals. There's a place called the Wolf Connection, which is in Acton. It's outside of Los Angeles. And we've been there for about 8 years now, and we rescue wolves and wolf dogs. And so it's been an incredible opportunity to have nature teach you so much about being present, because these animals are present and they teach us so much about what it means to be in our bodies and in relationship. And this is what I'm so drawn to with mindfulness, is it's a relational way of being. And the relationship is with ourselves and others. That's both internally and externally. And when we're in a position of not wanting things to be the way that they are, right? And so the idea, even if maybe the opposite, I don't want things to change, and wanting to hold on, so we can want to grasp at something that's pleasant, and then we can also kind of push and have an aversion to something that's unpleasant. And so when I've been focusing on my teachings this week is really about this letting go and letting love. And this love in the sense of our innate essence of who we are, you know, that we are not broken, that we, what if we weren't broken? What if we were whole? What if we actually can access that at any time, in any moment? And so when we get lost, it's when we're not in the moment. So if you look at a wolf and they are meeting the moment fully, now it doesn't mean that some of these animals have come from pretty horrific experiences, so they can have these trauma responses and loops within us. And same with us. I mean, trauma is part of our heritage as far as humans. You can't live this life without having an overwhelming experience. Obviously, to the degrees, and it can be relative. But I think that it's instinctual to want to chase for something that gives relief, that feels better, that feels happy. And again, this can be something that can go to the extreme. And we think of mindfulness is in the middle, this middle way, this finding this sense of harmony, this sense of equanimity, this balanced awareness. So I think of the different ways that we can chase things. So we can chase for a better moment. We can chase for wanting the idea of something for us, meaning maybe I can chase for, I can work on myself, that I need to be a better person. I need other people to change. And so I need to help them. But I would just be curious, as far as this prompt, if we're chasing for something, if we're grasping for something, and then this is a way to kind of escape what we're feeling, what's in the moment, what are some of those things that might happen for you, that you're chasing something else other than being in this moment? So we can be grasping for something else. So I would love it if someone wants to come off mute and share what that might be for them, or if you can put it in the chat, that would be great as well. But what is something that you tend to go to when you want to escape what you're feeling or what you're experiencing and you want to be somewhere else? And I'm not saying that can't be incredibly skillful, right? That actually can be what's called resourcing, is that we imagine because we're feeling at our capacity, we might be in a fight or flight response. And us just bringing our attention to something else that's pleasant, that's neutral, can actually change the way that we feel, that we have more capacity to be with what is. So I'm not talking about resources. I'm actually, or it could be, you could even actually name that resourcing. But do you know what I mean as far as the anxiety? Like, I'll read you Rumi's poem. He says, "When I run after what I think I want, my days are a furnace of stress and anxiety. When I run after what I think I want, my days are a furnace of stress and anxiety. If I sit in my own place of patience, what I need flows to me and without pain. From this, I understand that what I want also wants me, is looking for me and attracting me." So when we look at mindfulness and these this ancient teaching tradition, it's really, and the neuroscience at UCLA that we support with all of this is that what we pay attention to grows. So if I'm constantly seeking change, something to be different and running after it, then I could be growing that awareness. As opposed to what if I pause and I become more patient with being with what is, and that this moment can actually be what it is that I'm after, what it is that I'm seeking. Or maybe it can be the link to the freedom, the sense of ease, the letting go, whatever that is. Okay, so I have someone that wrote, "For me, it used to be alcohol. It helped me through burnout, but then became a problem and created more suffering. Now I use meditation to check in and just use feelings as useful information. Major change." Beautiful, 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 Lisa. Thank you so much. So, yeah, so when we look at something like we're chasing, so maybe some people are like, okay, I can't wait to get back to my phone and I'm scrolling. That can be a form of chasing. Right? We're in that kind of flee response. What's that next dopamine hit, right? That can be the cigarettes. That can be the texting. That can be the program, you know, whatever it is. Sharon says, "Lots of us like to read, go to a movie, watch a light show to escape life for a bit." Absolutely, right? And when we're doing this consciously, intentionally, mindfully, we can enjoy it even that much more. It can be that much more fulfilling. Because how many of us, I mean, one thing that I'm seeing that I find challenging is seeing certain relatives that I'll be with and that will be in a conversation, a gathering, and then they pull out their phone and they're not totally present. And that they're scrolling or that they're, you know, maybe we're even in watching a program together and then they are not fully present. And kind of missing the moment of what we can have with just being with each other. Yeah, absolutely. So when we need a healthy break, this is equanimity. This is balanced awareness. But when we have that kind of anxious, I'm chasing for something, I want to, or I'm running away from something, I don't want to be with it. So we'll go with the opposite. So when we think of life in the sense of things that are difficult, being with difficult emotions, so we can brace for a difficult experience. Like, what's around the corner? When's the other shoe going to drop? Oh my gosh, just opening up the news. It's just like, oh my God, what's next? And I'm kind of bracing. I really find when I'm looking and I'm reading information right now, I'm just kind of bracing, like, what's next? And it's not like what next in hope. I mean, I do have other resources that I look at that I find that really do bring out, you know, hope and different ways that communities are working together. And so that's beautiful. But there is a bracing for something that's difficult. So maybe in what way do you feel that in your life, if you respond or resonate to this, that you might feel like you're bracing for something, for a difficult one. And so this is where we can be a little stuck. This is where we can be holding tension in our body or grinding our teeth or kind of like holding on in a way that's bracing. Or I don't want to get caught off guard. I've been hurt before. I've been sucker punched. Life has thrown me curveballs. So I'm going to actually not fully let go and let my heart open because I need to be protected. I need to be on. So just noticing what is bracing. Is that a defense? Is that protection? Is that something? Of course, we can use our wisdom, but in what ways can it be out of balance that me bracing for life right now can actually be causing more pain than just meeting the moment of what is? Does anyone have any thoughts on that or want to ask any questions related to that? You can come off mute or you could put it in the chat box. For me, it's a sense of holding my breath. I woke up the other morning and realized, oh, I can exhale now. Beautiful, Lisa. Yeah. So just noticing that when we're holding our breath, that is a bracing. This is the what I would interpret it. This is the words. You make it meaningful to you, or and if it's not, let it go. But when I'm holding my breath, when I'm clenching my jaw, I am bracing for something. Versus when I'm letting go, I am softening, I am opening. There's an allowance. There's this sense of flow that's coming in and out, just like the breath. But when it's difficult and it's challenging and there's this tumultuous tone, that can be really a big challenge, right? Ariel says, breaking is a way of trying to deal with uncertainty. What do you think? Do you think that bracing for life is can be a way of dealing with uncertainty? Marielle, yes.
Not necessarily in a good way, but maybe that's the way some of us deal with it.
Absolutely. So there's so much uncertainty, right? I mean, that is the certainty of life. There's uncertainty, right? That there's going to be change. And so when we're bracing for the unknown, we also have that wired into us a negativity bias, right? We're going to look for what's wrong, maybe worst case scenarios. So we have this catastrophizing. All of this is part of our humanity. There's nothing wrong with us that we do this. But yeah, can it give us a little bit of a buffer for potentially the reality of uncertainty? Yeah, absolutely. So when we're aware of this is where we have choice. When we're walking around and we're bracing for something that could go wrong, we're actually not aware of what else is true. And that's the thing that I love the acronym of the awe of life, you know, and what else? And what else is here? Yes, there's difficult air in the water right in the air right now. There's and we can feel the feeling of that. I can allow that in and go, oh, I don't want this to be. How long is it going to be? And the uncertainty of that. And can I breathe in and meet that moment? Can I embrace and welcome? Yeah, this is what's here right now. Instead of the bracing it, which is acting on top of it or not really being honest with ourselves. And then where does that start to deflect into other parts of us? Okay, so I'm just going to read a couple more things. I am lost. I never can even explain to myself what I want. Oh, thank you, Risa, if that's how you pronounce your name. So, yeah. So, more that we can just admit that. Can we just pause and, like, I'm lost. I can't explain what I want or myself. Can we just meet that moment? to be honest with ourselves of what's here and be patient with it and slow down. And noticing that maybe if we start to drift and settle down deeper into ourselves, that we can actually start to connect with the knowing. Because I find that, I mean, I didn't come to this practice. I started meditating when I was 17 years old. So it's been many years and I've studied many traditions. I did not come to it because I was bored and had nothing better to do. I came to it because I was suffering greatly. And I felt like I was at the mercy of my mind. And my mind was not something that was peaceful. It was something that felt relentless because it wasn't an ally. It was something that I couldn't win with myself, right? Okay, I start to feel at ease and peace. Oh, wait, now this is here. Oh, wait, now there's that. And this person's going through that. And the what ifs of the worried mind. And this training of attention is coming back to what is right now in this moment. Yes, embracing is naturally protective, but we do it so much, right? So that's the thing. If we're doing it all the time, so I went and got a massage like last week, and I feel like I have to earn that. Like I have to earn it for like, okay, you got to work hard, you got, and then like, okay, now you can receive some care. So I'm trying to switch that in the way that, but she was saying is that you have a lot of tension in your neck, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's something that's ancestral. Like everyone in my family has that, especially on my mom's side. And it's because of wearing the world, the weight of the world on my shoulders, and it's also bracing. It's also okay, like toughen up. What's next? Kind of being in more of that fight response. Sharon says, I was dreading my in-office day. Since there is a lot of work and some drama, I was fretting for days about it, and we had a great team day today. It was a very good day. So that was wasted energy, beautiful and unnecessary suffering because not allowing openness to a possible good experience. Beautiful, Sharon. So there it is, right? Oh, I'm going to go in. Oh, God, there's going to be this drama. I'm so dreading what's going to be said, and this person's going to do this. Like, I create stories into situations that I'm a predictor. That's what I want. And yet I'm drawing from pretty negative experiences, right? I'm drawing from unconsciously, like the worst case scenarios, kind of like this is what I'm drawing from. I'm drawing on from the stuff of my childhood that happened on the playground. You know, kind of like the mean thing that caught me off guard when I was like, or the different things that I don't want to be caught off guard again. And so I'm going to predict and project. But what that's doing, just like Sharon so beautifully said, is that is it true? Am I wasting energy and causing unnecessary suffering? Because we can also come to the place where the maybe not. It's 50-50 that it's going to go like that, right? But how do I want to live? Do I want to live into the uncertainty that it might go really well? Or do I want to live in the uncertainty that, oh, it's not going to go well and it's going to be crap? This is where we get to come back to the present moment and say, for now, I don't know, but I'm not going to use that fuel, that energy, and create a story. I'm going to let it go and maybe even allow letting in some care, compassion, and even having a sense of humor. Okay, Rebecca says, sometimes I feel like scrolling or other coping escapist behavior is keeping me functional. Yeah, it's in the weekend and I don't have to get to work and I can take time to reflect and process. But if I'm really busy, I just want the easy relief, scrolling and podcasts. Totally. Rebecca, you are not alone. I get that. Anyone else get that? Thumbs up, hands. Yes, absolutely. This is what we don't need to make ourselves wrong, right? We don't need to make ourselves wrong. We just want to be more present. Where how long are we doing it? And for is it really what we are finding relief in. So, because I can enjoy, I've created some good algorithms, right? They get hijacked from time to time, stuff that's like, are you kidding me? What am I looking at right now? But I love seeing some different things that people are posting, or, especially this summer right now with like different nature. And but then when I'm seeking relief that is not coming, can I pause in this moment and saying, maybe if I closed my eyes and I took some breaths and I just softened into my body and I just was quiet for 5 or 10 minutes, maybe that could be relief too, right? One thing I'll say that what we know what's happening physiologically with these being in on electrical devices, they're much faster than we're used to. If you look at thousands of years that we have been living, it is at a slower pace than the modern way of living with the mechanics that we're doing, all the technology. It is so much faster. So we can kind of match the fastness with the technology and the different things of go, 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 and we might find that familiar relief. But then I would ask too, is it true? Can I pause even when I'm scrolling in this moment saying, is this providing relief? Is this fun? Or did I, am I, 30 more minutes longer than I need to be doing this? This is where I am working with my own relationship to technology because I too want to check out and enjoy. And then I'm noticing it's going a little bit longer. And then now that's about escaping. So that's just something to think about. Can you please post the links to all the poems? Yes, I will, definitely. So I want to invite this concept of embracing. Pema Chodron, who is a beautiful Tibetan nun, revered teacher, she said this quote from this thing that I, this class that I took with her. She said, welcoming the queasy feeling. So, welcoming even that queasy feeling. So, I have a tendency that I want to run away from things that are unpleasant. That's kind of my deepest conditioning, I would say, for a lot of us, that is, because things were very complicated and I had come from a background of developmental complex trauma. So there was good reason to want to run away from my experience and to shut down my experience. And that's part of the bracing of shutting down. So to have learned this compassionate practice of embracing, when you can think of embrace as a welcoming what's here, but how am I welcoming it? I don't want it to last like this forever, right? I'm not feeling like this in the way that I want to be with something that's making me queasy or uncomfortable for a day. What's ironic, though, is that when I can meet it in the moment, even if it's just a little part of it, and notice where I feel it in my body and just be on the outer edge of it, it starts to shift. So, when we are fully present or enough in the moment, it starts to shift. And I'm curious if any of you feel like this. But I find that we can be afraid of what's already happened. It's more about we're afraid of what's already happened, especially in younger parts of our life. So this is where I kind of use this phrase of like our history. Our history is with us. All parts of us are with us right in the moment. But when we're unconscious of our relationship to our own history, and I would even extend that out to intergenerational history. When we're aware of that, and we haven't, as children or as young adults, we didn't have resources or support to hold the space for us with us so that we could feel what felt too much or what didn't feel enough, that we weren't alone in it. Then we had to look to survival strategies. And that is to fight. No, the bracing. No, I don't want it to be like this. Flee. I'm out of here. Escape. Freeze. Okay, I'm just kind of stuck. And then the appease. Yes, I'll take care of you and then maybe I'll get some care in return. So this welcoming what's here is actually the antidote of being in stuck in something. It starts to soften and open. Lisa says, even seeking talks on Insight Timer, I can find myself using that to escape. Absolutely. So when we notice it, when we're staying aware, when we're mindful, this is where, and I'm trying to do that. So I have a timer that goes off 3 times a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one in the early evening. And that is my reminder to say, where are you? Where are your feet? Because I can be in the future or I can be in the past. And I don't do it with like, really? You're going there again? Gosh, you're still not in the moment. There's no judgment. It's kindness. It's friendly. It's like, yep, I understand. That was a very unpleasant email that you read. I understand why you're reading it in your mind over and over. It's like, but come back here. What do you need? Right? What do you need right now in this moment? So, Karen Mazin Miller wrote, beautiful mindfulness teacher. She said, we can handle anything when we exchange our worries and fears for alertness and spontaneity. When we focus solely on what is in front of us, and when we leap into the sheer wonder of an unplanned life. So just think, we can handle anything when we exchange our worries and fears for alertness and spontaneity. That is that groundlessness. That is that uncertainty. But for me, part of why I came to this tradition and this practice for all these years and keep practicing it as a way of life is because I want to be in control. I want control for good reason. I want to be safe. I don't want to get hurt. I want to be happy. These are human conditioning. Of course, that's in our nature. But what can happen is if I grasp too much for that happiness and I'm not aware and there's space for what else is here, then I'm not really being present and I'm not really being connected. And I believe that connection is freedom. Connection with ourselves and connection with that both internal landscape and the external landscape. So if I'm doing behavior that's disconnecting me, that's okay. It doesn't mean that we don't need to just check out. But if it becomes a habit, it's going to lead to more unhappiness. And this is what the science shows. But I'd be curious as far as your own direct results. I mean, these teachings say find out for yourself, right? So it's for you. Where in your life do you, just to reflect on this, do you check out and disconnect to the point that maybe it's causing you some unhappiness? And what would it look like if you were to use a way to connect and come back to the present moment and actually be with it? So I'm just going to invite a short practice. So if you can find something difficult or challenging, and I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being something really difficult, we don't have the time and the care to give you that, to process that with you as much as I would like to. So I'm going to say, can you lean more to like a 2 or a 3, maybe a 4? In that it's something enough to kind of sticky, it's something to work with, but it's not something that can be so overwhelming that we don't have the care and the time to give to you. So something that you feel that you're trying to escape from, something that you're trying to brace from, something that you feel that is maybe out of balance right now in your life. That could be your relationship to technology. That could be spending a lot of alone time. That could be taking care of others and not taking care of yourself. That could be your relationship to food, your relationship to anything, right? Your relationship to busyness. Your relationship to noise. I love what Alice Walker talks about as far as silence, that we have time. And it doesn't mean that everything's perfectly silent and it needs to be perfectly silent. But think about it. Our body is constantly digesting and processing life. So if we're constantly filling up space with sound and sight, when do we have time to rest and digest? And this is the beauty of nature, is it reminds me, like one of the thing about working with these animals is they know how to play, they know how to chase, and they know how to rest, right? They know how to be. They're such beautiful teachers in that way. As opposed to us, I can just keep chasing. Okay, it's the next moment that's going to be better, or it's the next thing. Or I was working with a client today and talking about these to-do lists. And then looking at these epic to-do lists that are not going to be achieved. And then they're going to be carried over to the next day, and then the next day, and the next. And then it's just like, but when is it that we let go of the pressure of that list? And that is that list and what's keeping us out of balance, a belief, an old idea that's saying, if I do this, then I can be happy, then I can rest, then I can relax. Then I'll be enough. Then I deserve to be kinder to myself. Okay. So we're only going to do this for about 5 minutes. So you can do this with your eyes open or closed, whatever you find meaningful and helpful to you. But just drawing on something that you feel is a little charged and you just don't feel like you have as much balance as you would like. And just noticing, maybe it's the first thing that pops in your mind. Maybe it's nothing that pops in your mind. Maybe it's something, for me, I would say what I don't like right now is I feel like I look my phone way too much. I would rather have scheduled times of the day of looking at my phone, because then it's like one more thing I have to do. I have to send that text back. I have to respond to that email. I have that information, right? Whatever it is. And it feels out of balance because I feel like I have to give it attention versus I want to give it my attention. So just noticing, is this a familiar habit? Whatever you've come to, can you look at it with curiosity and non-judgment? Can you not make it wrong? Maybe even welcome it, meaning, okay, I'm not going to resist you. You're here. This is something we're doing. What's the need underneath? What's it trying to meet? There's a need that's trying to be met. Is it not feeling alone? Is it feeling purposeful? Is it feeling familiar? Is it just filling up space? Is it whatever it is? I feel more in control. I feel more out of control. I care as more. I care less. And what if you could put this in the palm of your hand? Maybe even just imagining that it's an object, and you can just put it in the palm of your hand. Just observing it, having some distance, having some spaciousness while you look at it. And what if you can turn towards the feelings that can be underneath this? Is there sadness? Is there anger? Is there resentment? And then what if you put your other hand, if you're able, on top of it and just held it with some care and kindness, just some friendliness. Not making it wrong, not making it right, just welcoming that this is here. And then what if you imagined releasing it, this behavior, this story, whatever it is? Maybe just imagine releasing it. You could release it like bringing it into your heart and releasing it into love. Or you can imagine just releasing it, letting go with your breath. And just breathing it out and releasing and letting it go. And now having this space, what would you like to bring in? Letting love in, letting kindness, letting care, letting presence in. What could that look like? Feel like? Just meeting this moment. What if there's more love and warmth and kindness and connection there, just in this moment that you're able to meet? Maybe you're familiar with some belief systems, the yeah buts, we can welcome it too. And for the last part, I just want to read you something that I wrote last week. It's kind of my own process of letting go and letting love. You can just receive this in any way that you'd like. See if anything resonates or not. What if I could let go of everything just for this moment? There might be fear that everything will fall apart. I wonder what it would be like to let go anyway. What if I allowed my body to soften in this moment and let go even 5%? I wonder what it would be like to let things happen for me so life could come through me without so much effort and not have the pressure that it all has to come from me. Remembering there is more to me than a fight, flight, survival, that there's a higher consciousness, unseen support. What if something higher could create for me, with me, a new way of being? Because I courageously let go and allow what is. I choose to embody ease and flow. I wonder what it would be like if I let go of everything outside of me, releasing everyone out there, that it's okay to release them. Receiving all of my energy to come back inward, allowing myself to have all of my energy from me, and everyone else can have theirs. Living and operating differently throughout the day, letting go of the world and living with ease and peace, knowing that things can happen for me. Things have been and are happening for me right now. I'm allowed to care for myself in a new way, to receive the abundance and joy of this moment. resetting my nervous system to a new rhythm of living, resting in my wholeness, inherent worth, and letting trust and the unseen support assist in guiding my life. What if we could all let go, let each other be, and be in a harmonious rhythm of care, compassion, and connection with the seen and the unseen? I choose to let go with love. So perhaps just taking a deep inhale and exhale. And just noticing what this feels like being here in this moment. And I'd just love to get some, how does this feel for you? Any feedback? How are you feeling now? What are you aware of? If you want, you could put it in the chat. You can unmute yourself. What was it like in that practice of kind of welcoming what's here, having a little observation with it in your hand, releasing it, providing the space? Or if there's any questions. And to, oh, you're welcome, Jessica. Here's one of the poems. And then this is a quote by Alice Walker. So Sharon feels maybe a little lighter getting that off of our minds and releasing it. It does indeed take courage to let go. That's why we can be hesitant to do so. Sometimes we wonder what the world would do without our constant input. Beautiful, Lisa. Yeah, exactly. So letting go and observing, we're not filling up the space or input. There can be some mystery in what comes up, right? Something new, something different. I'm also going to include my contact info. So I guess I would just love to see before the last couple of minutes we have left. Is there something that you can do this week for your practice to help you to let go, to let in, to help you to be more supportive to your practice of being present? If there's something that you're chasing, if there's something that you're pushing, if there's something that you realize is kind of out of balance, is there some small step that you can do for your practice this week? Maybe that's, you know what, instead of scrolling, I'm going to pause first and I'm going to take 5 breaths. I'm going to eat one meal without looking at something else, right? Maybe I'm just going to take one bite, right? Whatever it is, but something that you can do for your practice this week to strengthen your connection to yourself and your life. That's the intention. So, if you want to put that in the chat, if you want to, I'd love to hear anyone that wants to actually talk. Be more present and breathe. Instead of asking my phone for info, I will jot down the idea and plan a time in the day to look things up. Awesome. Mindful eating. Slow down. Beautiful. And this isn't pressure that we're putting on ourselves. This is the invitation, the intention that these are some things that can shape our lives differently, right? If we're doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results, which maybe your results are doing great. But what if there's some areas in our life like, I kind of want a different result? Maybe I can shift certain things. Leah says, consider removing email from my phone. Love it. Yes. I'll go back to my old habit of meditating at least 1 minute when I go to the bathroom. Beautiful. You stop. Yes, absolutely. Stop, take a breath, observe what is going on in this moment, and then proceed. Beautiful. Love it. And this can be that something that you can put in a timer, you can put in a calendar. This is something that can just naturally pop up in the way you want. But in order, habits are things that happen consistently over time, right? Or often. So we want a new habit, we want to change behavior. Then I always like to invite people and suggest to put it, create it in some type of routine. Maybe that's brushing your teeth and having a mindful moment. Maybe that's putting it in your calendar, having a timer go off. I love having a buddy. So a mindful buddy that I practice with together, that maybe I want to go longer in my practice. Maybe I want to do it more than once a week. Whatever that is, I can connect with a buddy and just have like, hey, do you want to do this for 2 weeks, 30 days? That can also be a wonderful way to create a new habit. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. It's so beautiful to see you all and to see all the names. And wishing you a wonderful rest of your day, night. Take good care of yourself. Remember, we're not alone. This too shall pass. Thank you for the hearts, sending them right back at you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.